starting off here this morning in Acts chapter 4. Do you want to turn over there? I'm not going to preach through this passage. We're actually going to be looking after this at Ephesians 4, but I'm going to read this as a picture of what true unity in Christ looks like and the spirit behind it. And then we'll see how that fleshes out in Ephesians. But this was just something that was there in the early church, and it was something God produced that only God could produce. It's kind of like what happened here this morning. This is one of those meetings where I question whether I should even get up and talk. I'm just being serious. Because God just masterfully worked through all of you. Different ones that shared. You have no idea. Just that little act of faith, just stepping out, opening your mouth, allowing the Holy Spirit to produce a theme in the meeting. Something God's wanting to say to the body. That's what church should be like. And I'm going to be sharing a lot about the body, the church. Like, what are we doing here? What is God wanting to do? What does that look like? How do I become more effective in this body? How does God want to use me? What does that look like? How do I prepare myself for that? So there's a lot of things we're going to be looking at, but today I really just want to look at the spirit behind it, because it really is something God produces. One thing God spoke to me through some of the testimonies this morning was He does much with little. They fell asleep while they were praying. Wow, that was some powerful praying. But you know, we get in our minds what that should look like. My grandson's in trouble. He could die, possibly. But I fall asleep while I'm praying. But God takes that simple act of faith and His word, which is truth, which He stands by, and He does a miracle. And just personally this morning, I'll just say, God took my little, trust me, and just did much this morning already. I'm just amazed at God. He doesn't need that much from us. He really doesn't. A mustard seed. That's it. I know a lot of you have need in here today. You got things going on. God is so able to take care of whatever is concerning you today. I had a wonderful conversation with my uncle last night. He's in his 90s now, still searching. And you know, you're on the phone and you're like, oh, Lord, I need to share the Lord with him. And the Lord knows, and He just opens the door and allows you to share. And then you just, at the end, you just step out of faith. Like, I just was like, you should pray for him. But I didn't want to. It was uncomfortable for me. It just was. But I said, well, let me pray for you, Uncle Bob. And I prayed for him, and he was really affected. And I was like, okay. It wasn't like this thundering prayer or anything, just a simple prayer. But I can tell him he's really affected by it. And we just don't understand what God does when we just take those little steps, enter into someone's need, stand in the gap for someone, and believe God to do really what only He could do. I just want to encourage you guys with that this morning. And I'm believing that for you all, I'm believing that for this church. Something God just keeps reminding me of, this is not my church, this is His church. He's the head, meaning He's in charge, just like the head of my body tells my body what to do. My hand is not independent of my foot. or my eye or my mouth. It all, the commands come from here, from my nervous system, and it tells my body what to do, and it responds. And if my body isn't responding, something's wrong with me. Right, doctor? Something's not right. And a lot of it just happens automatically. It's like I'm not even thinking about it. So, what is the church? That's where I'm going. What is church? What are we doing here? What's this all about? Well, I'll start by saying what it's not, okay? If you're a Christian, the local church is not a club. It's not a place where we just come to hang out for an hour or two with some like-minded people and have some fun and excitement and kind of a little social gathering. It's definitely not that. It's not a place where you just share interest in religious things so you gather weekly to talk about it. It's not that either. It's definitely not a service provider. In other words, here to just cater to what everyone feels like they need. But living in, you know, our Western society, it's been about 100 years now. That's kind of what the church has morphed into. A consumer mentality, then we have our list, you know, and we look for things that, you know, is going to meet our needs. And if it doesn't, we move on somewhere else if we feel like our needs ain't getting met. And that's just unbiblical. It's just wrong thinking. That's not what the church is. There's many metaphors in the scriptures about the church that describe it as something totally different. So one metaphor would be, it's a body, like I've been talking about. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. And the Christians as what? Members of that body. In other words, we're all subservient to that head. So when we're together, gathered as a body under the head of Christ, the normal function of that body would be all the members working together under that headship of Christ, moving, doing, acting out his will, bringing his kingdom. That's what the church is supposed to do. Bring the kingdom of God to earth. That's the function of the church. But there's an authority in heaven, so there must be an authority in the church. And it starts with Christ, where we all come under, me included. I'm not the head. I'm just the under-shepherd that he's entrusted to lead and guide. And there's other under-shepherds he appoints. We don't vote in. That's unbiblical. He appoints them. He uses leaders to appoint. It's scriptural. The church doesn't decide when they want a new pastor. The elders do that. The spiritual leaders do that. I'm getting a little off. I'm going to get more into that stuff next week. The importance of authority in the body of Christ, which is a forgotten subject. It's looked at as legalistic, as controlling, because it's been abused a lot, but it's extremely important if the body is going to function correctly. Because it's a body, and if we're not all subservient to Christ, how's that body going to function healthy? It's just not going to happen. So if we're submitted to God, we're submitted to one another as members of his body. Another way we see church in the Bible is it's a family. Paul and Peter call the church God's household. Right? We are his children. We are the children of God's household. And we're all born into his family. And it really is a more intimate family than even our immediate families on earth. I mean, especially if they're not born again. There's a stronger bond because our bond continues into eternity. Relationships here, they're done. Even marriage is done when we enter into heaven, but not our relationship with him. And in heaven, it's going to be perfect union. We're going to be all in unison. Every fiber of our being is going to be under the control of God. Praise the Lord. Because when we see him, we're going to be just like him. That's what it means. We're just going to be full of him. We're going to be gone. And a greater one is going to take our place. And that's happening now, little and little. That's the process of sanctification. Little by little, he's gaining ground. We're surrendering. We're becoming more and more like him. But when we see him, we're going to be like him. And there's going to be no schisms in heaven. We're going to be in perfect unison, just like all the beings are right now. And they're all praising him, and they're all in unison, bowing down. And there's unity and harmony and peace in heaven, in God's kingdom. Why? Because God's ruling and reigning supreme. And every being that is created by him, which we are all subservient to him. And guess what? They're happy. They're full of joy. There's peace, there's joy, inexpressible. Because like my wife prayed, that's what we were created for. See, we fight the thing that actually brings our happiness. We resist the Holy Spirit when he just wants to fulfill us. Why we do that, it just proves to me the insanity of the natural reasoning mind. That just is at enmity with God. That we have to deny. Because it opposes that. It opposes authority. It opposes the lordship of Jesus Christ. But when we see church as a family, we understand the family is made up of members of the same household, same father. And we're all a network of relationships and obligations to one another. We're obligated to one another. The last metaphor we see in scripture is we're a temple. We're individual temples, but the scripture also talks about us being spiritual stones that are being built together into a household of God. And we're all fitted and formed and fit into, I don't understand fully, but there's something about God is building his spiritual temple with his people. And where does the glory of God reside? In the temple. It's by that temple coming together and unified that the glory of God is revealed. So when we think about church, there's some implications that come with those metaphors, right? It means it's biblical that we serve other Christians, that we have a specific place to be connected to a body, that we understand the importance of coming under and following the spiritual leaders God has put in our lives. It gives us a chance to build a witness in our lives, just like we were hearing today. People testifying and being witnesses of what God is doing. And it's a way for us to fulfill a great commission. God's plan to make disciples, to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. But we will not be effective until we have what the early church had. So I'm going to read now out of Acts 4. And I'll start here. Verse 23. And again, I just want you to get a hold of the spirit here that we're seeing. So, and being let go, they went to their own companions. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that they raised their voice to God, they, with one accord, they said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined to be done. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they will speak your word." So they're facing opposition. They're living in a time where the gospel is trying to be suppressed by the leaders of that day. And he quotes their Psalm 2, "Why did the nations rage?" Because they don't want Christ ruling. They don't want him to be Lord. They want to do what they want to do. It's rebellion. It's what's at the heart of the fall. But we are here to proclaim something different. And they are all in one mind, it says. And they cried out with one accord. There's a spirit in them that's crying out. "Lord, look upon our threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness we will speak your word." So as a collective body, they're saying, "God, give us your power so we can proclaim the gospel with boldness, so we can be effective witnesses for you." Because that is the purpose of the church. "By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." It says, when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'll just say it this way. They all came under control of the Holy Spirit. So we get away from some mystical thinking. Why? They all were in the same mindset. We're going to see this later, where God was able to do that, take control of them. He poured out his spirit on them. And the multitude of those who believed, this is the result. They were one heart. They were one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. There was a level playing field. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, who does God bestow grace on? The humble. Nor was there any who lacked, for all who were possessed of lands or houses sold them. They brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. They laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, whose name was also Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Self is gone. The pursuit of my happiness in this life is gone. It's all about the need. And it's all about what I can give to prosper the kingdom of God and to promote the gospel, even if it means selling everything I have. Now, that doesn't mean everyone now today, you guys need to go sell all your houses and, you know, come and lay all the money at my feet. If I start saying that, just run for the door. Okay? But there was a situation there that was going on, and that was for a time. But the key thing is the spirit. That should be in all of us. That willingness, that readiness, and perhaps there might be a time when we need to do that. And it should be like, okay, no problem, Lord. If there's a need, I want to help. So it's the spirit behind it. Okay, that's the main thing we want to see. So now turn over to Ephesians 4, and I'm just going to go through this quickly. This has come about really by my seeking the Lord while we were away, and God leading me, I believe, to a couple of books that I've read in the past on unity, on spiritual authority, that I do believe God was directing me to because of the need of this body and what God wants to do and the importance of us learning as a body how to better come together. And it's going to mean sacrifice. It's going to mean being in meetings. I was sitting there this morning, I'm saying, you can't experience what we had here today on video. Like, whoever's watching on video, I mean, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. You missed out. Because, you know, maybe what we shared earlier will be better than what I'm sharing right now. It was powerful. You can't reproduce that. You miss that. It's lost. But more than that, it's how God is building the body. I mean, how can he build the body if we're not here, if we're not in services? And so Wednesday night and Sunday, that's important because we're all together. I think it's great people meet during the week. You should do that. But when we're together as a body, that's where we're going to grow together. That's where we're going to get the same mindset. That's where we're going to be able to share what's going on and encourage one another. That has to be collective. That has to be everybody. Otherwise, we'll be a scattered body here and there. Everyone doing kind of their own thing. And we come together once in a while and, you know, we have a nice time together. And we will not be accomplishing what God is calling this body to specifically accomplish in this community, this surrounding community. That is why we are here. Amen. I'm getting off. But let's turn to Ephesians. Let me just go through this quickly. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is encouraging them into unity. And he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, just that statement, should teach us something about unity. You have to not be your own anymore. You have to be a prisoner of the Lord. You'll never understand unity and what it means to come under the headship of Christ if you don't understand that you are a prisoner of the Lord. You are a bondservant of the Lord. Paul had no problem saying things about that about himself. I beseech you, walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. So the key is right there, with all lowliness, gentleness, long suffering, bearing with one another. Lowliness of mind, with the mind of Christ. Resigned my rights on my life. I've taken on the mind. I've let the mind of Christ become mine. It's not about me anymore. It's not about my happiness. It's about the need of those around me. That's another lie that has crept into the church, that somehow God wants to make me happy. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. And what I mean when I say that is happy in this life and just give me what I feel like I need so I'll be happy. No, he wants to make you holy. He wants to make you a blessing. And when you're operating the way God designed you to be, you'll have joy, which is a little different than happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness a lot of times is based on how my circumstances are going. Joy, you don't lose that. And it's inexpressible because it's full of glory. And its hope isn't in this life. It's not looking for happiness in this life. It understands where my true hope and happiness is going to be. So everything about my life now is about other people. It's not about me. Endeavoring. Okay. That means we have to do something. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why does Paul say that? Well, he recognizes you get people together, there's going to be friction, there's going to be problems. So you need to endeavor. Guys, you want to be an effective body? Do you? Is this what you really want? You sure? You don't want just church as usual? Are you sure? Do you understand the cost? This is going to be painful. You are going to have to do things that are way out of your comfort zone. You are going to have to learn how to really deny yourself. You're going to learn how to sacrifice things that maybe other Christians don't have to. Time. How you spend your free time. Your resources. Your money. Maybe even what you're pursuing in your life, what you think you need to do. Is it what God wants you to do? It means everything. Endeavor. Why? Because it's one body. Again, the church isn't a conglomeration of individuals. It's a body. It's members that are united in Christ. There's only one body. When you think about a body and how it forms, how does that body form? From one cell. So the whole life of that body comes from that one cell. It's the same way in the body of Christ. Our life is derived from Christ. He is our united. We're one body in Christ. He goes on, he says, in one spirit. The strength of the church isn't derived by its numbers. Again, another American Christianity idea that if we're growing, God's there, His blessing is there. I'd rather have 10 people united in the Spirit, in one Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit's the one reigning through those 10 people. He's got control of them, and He's able to work through them as a body, and that body is healthy, and it walks, it talks, it functions, and it speaks, and it does the things God intends that body to do. I could do a lot more with 10 people like that than 500 that are scattered all over the place and just doing their own thing. That aren't under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because there's one Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by human wisdom or power we're going to accomplish the things of God. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He's always reminding me of that. He is again this morning. I got this, Jeff. I got it. I know how to do this. Leave it alone. One Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of the church. He goes on, one hope. One hope of your call. What is that hope? It's expressed dozens of times in Scripture. It's the hope of Christ returning for His bride. It's the hope of that future glory when He establishes His kingdom. Isn't it what we're living for? The hope of future glory, the living hope that He's placed in our hearts. That's one thing that unites us. Christ, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. And we know when He appears, we're going to be like Him. I yearn for that day, man. I can't wait for that day because I am so sick of me. I just wish I would be gone. For when we see Him as He is, we will be like Him. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. There's one Lord. He doesn't say one Savior. One Lord. That's a very important title that he uses. Acts 4:12, it says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's why the early Christians would not say Caesar is Lord. They understood. There's only one Lord. We cannot call Caesar our Lord. There's only one Lord. There's only one that every knee and tongue will confess. You are Lord. It establishes, again, where our authority or true authority is. It's vested in him. And that's what unites us. There's one faith. I understand we have all our denominations and all our differences, but really, there really is only one faith that we all must, especially in these days, contend for, and the church should be contending for that. That's why we need one another. That's why we all need to be students of the Bible. Very important. There's one faith. Contend for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to all the saints, Jude 1, verse 3 tells us. It's the truth about Jesus. It's the truth about the gospel that we were saved by, that we must hold to. The gospel has been so watered down, so twisted. We need to contend for the gospel. There's one baptism. Again, despite these differences, I understand the symbol of baptism. I'm not going there, because this is really talking about a spiritual baptism. A physical baptism really is just a representation of something that has happened spiritually. We were all baptized into his death. That's right. So we were all baptized with the same baptism. If we are truly believers, we've been baptized into his death, that his life might reign in us. There's one baptism, and there's one Father of all. Again, where we receive the spirit of sonship, where we cry out, Abba, Father, where it helps us to understand we are family. You are my brothers and sisters. And we are going to be brothers and sisters for all of eternity. We're going to rejoice together around our Father's throne in his kingdom forever and ever and ever. So just think about it. Isn't something wrong if we don't long to be with God's family? Something's wrong. Again, that's going to be another talk. Lone Ranger Christianity. Very dangerous. If you're not longing to be with the body, something's wrong. Either you've been hurt and you're not dealing with it right, or you just got a lot of pride and you're in that consumer mentality. There's tons of reasons. Or possibly, you're not saved. There could be many reasons, and we need to be careful, you know, throwing out a definite statement like, oh, yeah, they can't be a Christian. They're not going to church. No, that's not true. But something's wrong. Something's wrong. We should desire to be in fellowship with other Christians. We have one Father. So really, that is all just describing the unity that the Spirit brings about. And I'm just going to end it practically for you. Just a little way to help us maybe come better into the unity God wants to do. So first of all, we have to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're told in Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, come under the control of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 12, verse 1, we see how to do that. You just simply surrender your vessel to God. You present your body a living sacrifice, He can take an empty vessel and fill it. He can't take a vessel that is self-willed, that isn't surrendered. So that's the key if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's one key. And then seek to know Christ. Seek to know the Christ of the Bible. Seek to attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? In Ephesians, it tells us, right? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, you have not so learned Christ that we should walk as children of light. Really, led by the Holy Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Deny the flesh. So you have to seek to know the God of the Bible. You can't create a Christ of your own imagination. You have to know this Christ of the Scriptures. You have to be taught by Him. And then just simply make it your aim. I'm going to love people. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters just how He has loved me. And that's a choice. Listen, most of the time, I don't feel like loving people. Or I don't feel love. Right, hon? Yeah, she knows me. I have to choose to love. And the only way I could do that is remembering His love for me. And one thing that helps me, I just preach the gospel over and over and over to myself. And I just remind myself the tremendous mercy and grace He has had on me. And then when it seems hard, or that person is difficult, or I'm just uncomfortable and I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit compels me. It's like He's pushing me behind. And then I hear God saying, just open your mouth. I'll put the words in there. He did it last night with my uncle. It was so cool. And I'm so uncomfortable sometimes with my uncle because he's such an intellectual man. He lives in North Hollywood. He's world famous mouthpiece maker. You know, and I'm a little intimidated or just feel funny. You know how we get. It's ridiculous. The man's soul is at stake and I'm worried. Are you kidding me? I'm yelling at myself here. You get that, right? But that's what we're like. But let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, it ain't like that. But sometimes you gotta step out first. Don't wait for the feeling. You go ahead and wait for the feeling. And you'll be sitting in that chair the rest of your life. And you'll miss out on all the opportunities the way God wants to use you here, when you're here in this building, but out there with your family, with coworkers, with people you run into. God wants to use this body as His hands and feet. He wants to use us so powerfully in the lives of people around us, in the community. But until we're learning here how to get out of ourselves and how to become one body, how to let the Holy Spirit take us over, it's just not going to happen. The picture I had the other day was a chicken with his head cut off. That's what we're going to be like. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's go over here. Let's do this. Oh, yeah, this sounds good. Scattered. That's not one mind. One heart, one soul, and one accord. You know why? The head is no head. Does that really happen, Joe? Have you tried that? Or is that just from the movies? They do run around. Yeah. So see that? It's possible to run around without a head. But I don't think that's the way God intended it. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
No. He wants to be the head. Let's start letting Him. And that's going to work itself out. We're going to start hanging around more. Next week is potluck. And I've been telling people, when we have potluck, you should just set aside that day. Because that's the Sabbath day. Again, a forgotten thing. That's not just Old Testament. God desires us to rest, to take a day, to devote it to Him. There's a reason for that. And it's a time for God and God's people. It's not a time for us to catch up on things or just go do what we want to do. We do enough of that during the week. How are we going to grow the body if we don't know each other, if we just hang out with certain people during the week? Do you know all these people? Do you know their lives? You should. It's a small enough church. I know all your lives. I know pretty much what's going on with all of you. That's why, personally, I really don't want to get that big, but that's up to God. Maybe if we have enough elders to care for all of you. But I don't want to lose touch. I want to be in touch with my people, what's going on. And I want to be here. We want to be here to serve you, to help you, to pray for you, to know how to pray for you, to disciple you. But how can I do that if you're not even here? Or, you know, we're not hanging around. We're not involved. We're just off, you know, running here and there, too busy for church. Something's got to change. Our priorities are all messed up. I'm kind of done with the talk. Now I've gotten off into just talking, and that's okay. We're going to continue this a little bit. But guys, there's such a blessing when the body is functioning the way it should. Psalm 133 says it this way, verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head. That's a picture of anointing from God. Running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon. That's blessing. That's life. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing of life forevermore. And I'll just tell you, there's life in here today. There's life in the worship. It's awesome. I'm so blessed with you guys. I really am. So I hope you're not taking the talk as like, come on, guys. It's not that at all. I just want to encourage you all more. More like you were doing today. I want to encourage you because it's exciting to serve God. It's exciting to hear testimonies, what God is doing and how He's working through this body and how He's encouraging us through one another. So I just want to encourage you and leave you with that. And as Paul said in Philippians 2, I'll end with this. Complete my joy as your pastor by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. And Lord, I thank you that you are doing that. You just showed me this morning. You're doing it. I pray none would back out, would resist the Holy Spirit, would make excuses, would prolong really what you're wanting to do. It's going to be a blessing for them more than they understand. I know it is for me. So I pray, God, for this body. I pray for everyone here. I pray for those that aren't here. Lord, that you would bring about what only you can, that the Holy Spirit would unite us under the head, would unite us in love, would make those truths we looked at today, that we would be one body, one spirit, have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, Lord, so that the world will know, this community will know you have come and you can manifest yourself the way you wanted to. And we could proclaim the gospel with boldness and with power and see souls come into your kingdom, Lord. So I pray and ask your will be done, your kingdom come in this body right here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.